Here comes the tag cast, everybody. No, we did not just borrow that music from a famous science fiction picture from 1982, but we might have. Anyway, I am Optimus with the tag cast, and we got the Fenrir, and we have some special guests tonight. Fen, who are our special guests tonight?
Well, we're joined by the one, the only, Warlock. How you doing, sir?
I am doing great. Hello, everyone. Hello, tag.
And we're also joined by none other than our favorite Canadian, Sithy.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Hello, tag. Thanks for having me on again.
So, Sith, have you ever been to Trenton, New Jersey?
I have not.
I just figured I'd ask. You know, some about Canadians or people like to visit Trenton, New Jersey. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we need to get Stevie Knuckles back on and he can tell us all about it. But anyways, it's the holiday season, gentlemen. I hope that you've been merry and happy and enjoying life and spending time with family and your loved ones and, you know, obviously socially distance and taking care of yourselves and making sure you're not spreading anything around. But I hope you guys are doing well, and I hope that you're finding some enjoyment with this hobby that we love called video games. You know, before we get like going on anything, anybody got anything they want to get off their chest? Anything they want to share yet right now? Or are we good to jump into the news?
I think, I don't know, I'm just proposing anyone listening at home and not on the road driving around, I think you can probably take a drink every time we say cyberpunk.
Well, that is that's a very divisive topic, and we're definitely going to get into that as time goes on through the show, as among many other news things that is going on. I'm going to just go ahead and toss this over to Sith, because Twitch is up to some things. What do they got going on?
So Twitch, they're getting banned the words simp, incel, and virgin as part of the new harassment crackdown on the website. The new policy will be put in place on January 22nd, and it's to help, I guess, make Twitch a more family-friendly website. We'll see how that plans out for them. They had released the news on the Twitch Town Hall stream, which was a bit underwhelming, the way they presented it. And then they also added other the notable inclusions are degrading another person by accusing them of having STD, which, you know, suggesting a person's channel is only popular because of sexual favors, using the whisper function to send unwanted sexual comments to another user, commenting on someone's sexual prowess or lack thereof, and threats of releasing revenge porn. So, that's a bit interesting. I guess that's been happening a lot more lately, so they're cracking down.
You know, I don't get on Twitch a whole lot, and all I know is, like, whenever I do get on Twitch, it's usually to watch some kind of massive event of some sort, like E3 type conferences or whatever. And all I know is there's like tons of bots and spamming of messages. Like, are they ever going to fix that issue, or is it they just going to go after insults?
I guess still? Whatever people report on. But I know what you mean. I remember when BioShock 3, or not BioShock, Borderlands 3 was announced, and they had the chat window on the side, and it was the official Twitch page for, I think, Gearbox. And there was people just reposting a penis the whole time in the chat, and nothing was done about it time.
I mean, I can't imagine any online service that uses a live chat like that with the clientele that we end up playing with on a daily basis is going to be free from peni running around on a
Well, it's just so interesting because they make it like anyone else. Moderation has to be on top of it.
True.
And then for some reason, like a big stream like that, zero moderation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did not know that half of these things were insults when they announced it. I had to learn some things when this happened, so I guess that's how out of touch I am. And the simp one, I did not know. Like, I thought it meant, like, simpleton like that, but apparently it means something else. So, you know, the more you know, you know, the shooting star in the sky just kind of went across as I learned about these three insults. So, yeah, wild times that we live in. We just can't be nice people, apparently. So, I mean, I've died on the soapbox. I'm not going to go there right now, but just be nice to each other. Come on. Let's just move on. Hop, you, one of your favorite franchises getting some love or...
Yeah, so some retirement. We have retirement and love. So, in the Halo world, which is a huge, huge community, and lots of tag people love Halo, we got two major stories. First, the all of the Halo 360 games will be losing their online capabilities in 2021. They're basically shutting off the servers, kind of like that time they shut off the Xbox Live for Halo 2 from the original Xbox. And we'll see if a bunch of people leave their 360s or Xbox Ones running BC Halo 360 games on to try and keep the servers going. Because remember, they couldn't shut off the servers for whatever reason back then. Maybe they've got a way around that now. We'll just boot them.
Is that a shout out to Apache that was on the tag forums back in the day?
Yeah. Yeah, didn't he do that? That's right.
He always gloated about that.
Yeah. And then there was an article that came out that the 343 says Halo Infinite is going to be worth the wait, coming out fall 2021, that it's going to be really good, and all this extra time is going to really improve the game. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm glad it got delayed. I was really worried when they showed it, and not to spoil anything, but as we go into the deep dive later, I'll be glad that Halo Infinite was delayed. That's all I'll say about that.
They released some pictures of the, like, the
Spartans. There's a couple of pictures of the PvP. And the map. Yeah. Yeah, that looks cool. The PvP is going to also use, like, a free-to-play model.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have Game Pass, you're going to be able to play all of it. I mean, it still sounds like the game's going to be kind of released in installments, where we're going to get some part of the campaign, and then we'll get more as the year goes on, or maybe in the next year. Maybe they'll do something like Gears, where we're going to get the first half of the campaign, and then 6 months later the second half. I don't know. It's a wait and see. They didn't really release much other than say it's going to be awesome, and I'm glad they delayed it to make it awesome and not release a game that needs a lot of work. That's all I'm going to say there.
All right. A game that did come out, which, you know, might get ready, guys, because you're going to take your first drink, is Cyberpunk. And Warlock, you got something, you know, you read some news about that recently, right?
I did. So today it came out. CD Projekt Red released that between the launch date of December 10th and December 20th, they've sold 13 million copies of Cyberpunk, which includes more than 8 million pre-orders, which is reportedly covering the cost of development in one day. So, yeah, it's kind of remarkable. This kind of success, you know, is also contrasting with a lot of other news about the public opinion of the game. And what's even crazier is that this also accounts for the digital and physical refunds that have been coming in already. So, speaking on the refund front, there's another bit of news that looks like GameStop is accepting returns on opened physical copies of Cyberpunk. within 30 days of purchase. So this, anyone who shops frequently at GameStop might, you know, this might be impressive just because usually they don't accept them for any reason really at all if it's open. You can trade it back in but not return them. But they're even kind of no questions asked. You can bring them in and get a refund. So, yeah, it's selling a ton, but people are have other opinions.
Yeah, Best Buy is doing the same thing, too. They're taking open copies, returns for 30 days from purchase as well.
There you go.
All right. Well, our last news, bit of news we'll just chat about, kind of free for all, if you will, is the Game Awards. They were held on December 10th, and it's kind of cool that Jeff Keighley, who kind of started this whole thing, is continuing this, and he actually put on a pretty decent show considering everything that's going on with the world. You know, one of the big things, though, about the Game Awards is not only the fact that a lot of developers and receive awards for their hard work, but they also have a lot of releases or premieres of video games or trailers of existing things that are hope to get you hyped up, like the new Call of Duty trailer for season one of Black Ops Cold War debuted there, and that really hyped a lot of people up. But there was a lot of other really interesting trailers. But just the big thing I want to point out is you know, I want to give props to PlayStation because they have some really awesome exclusives that did very well at the Game Awards, mainly The Last of Us 2, which took home Game of the Year, which is awesome that they have that story. And it's definitely a story I wish I could play sometime in the near future because I absolutely love the first one. But many other games won a lot of awards. There's a lot of really interesting categories out there, including like adventure, first-person shooter, ongoing games, things of that nature. A little gem, Among Us, won best, was it mobile game? Anyways, Among Us won a game, won an award. So, you know, it really kind of hits all the different things. Oh, best multiplayer game winner was Among Us, which is kind of cool. Anyways, the big thing, though, is all the news, trailers, and things that dropped at the Game Awards. Did any of you kind of check out the Game Awards? Did you see any trailers or anything that jumped out at you that you would like to kind of touch on for a moment?
I'm looking forward to the near remaster.
I didn't even get to check it out. I forgot all about it. The only game I heard about that I'm super super ridiculously bouncing off the walls excited for is Back 4 Blood.
Yes, Turtle Rock. Yeah, the original creators of Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, this is basically Left 4 Dead 3. Dude, I watched people playing the alpha this week on Twitch, and I was like, oh my god, I want to play it so bad.
You know, we got a taste of it with World War Z, which was a lot of fun. We definitely had some fun, but this is definitely Left 4 Dead. It's gonna be awesome. I definitely look forward to that. Twitch, Sithy, you were saying the near remake?
Yeah, well, it's the remaster.
Remaster? Didn't it just come out last gen? On the base, like on the 1 and 4?
So that's like the second game in that storyline, I guess you could say. And the first one was released on the PlayStation 3 along with the Xbox 360. But what they did at that time was Japan. It was the main character was an older brother taking care of his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they released it in America, they did a father figure taking care of his daughter. And now this time it's just going to be the Japanese version, which I assume is going to be dubbed and released here on, I guess they're still doing PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It doesn't seem like they're doing a Series X or PlayStation 5 release for it.
Warlock, was there anything that tickled your fancy with the Game Awards?
Yeah, I'm in agreement about Back 4 Blood. It looks awesome. Can't wait for that.
Can't wait. They're using the Unreal Engine 5. I love the way the gameplay looks. The gun models look great. The reload animations look great. I mean, the overall gameplay, you can tell that it was them progressing.
I did not know they were using Unreal 5. That's
awesome.
Yeah,
it looks amazing. you know me, I geek out on stuff like that. I was freaking out. I was like, this looks so good. That means they're going to be able to scale it up for so many more things. I predict on PC, Series X, and PS5, that game's going to be really, really pretty. Really pretty.
Well, is it announced for the last gen, or is it just...
I don't see why they wouldn't release a version for... I mean, it's coming out in about 6 months, I would assume. At this point, we'll probably still see quite a few games releasing on both, right? It'll be probably... By this time next year, you'll probably see fewer and fewer games coming out.
I don't know, just Unreal Engine 5 to me seems like something that would push consoles a lot further than 4 would. And if you were doing something last gen, you'd probably err on the side of 4 than you would 5. But I don't know. I'm not a game developer. I don't even know what I'm talking about half the time when it comes to these things. So I'm just making it up as I go. But Warlock, outside of Back for Blood, what else are you looking at?
Second thing was probably be the Callisto Protocol. All
so right.
That is the game by creators of Dead Space, mm-hmm. which apparently has some bizarre tie-in to PUBG. But yeah, I'm just looking for more sci-fi horror. Dead Space 1 and 2 I love. So
yes.
More of that I'm in.
Wait, update. It is Unreal Engine 4, but it's using the newest version. For some reason, I thought they said Unreal Engine 5, which I don't think is publicly available or even in the developer's hands yet. So, my bad. Mm. Slap me on the wrist.
You know, it takes a grown man to make a, you know, admit when he makes a mistake. So I'm proud of you, sir.
I was like, maybe Finn's right. I was like, okay, cool. No, that's better. Like you said, that means it'll be more scalable.
Yeah, there you go.
Right on.
I mean, I will say I'm kind of shocked that none of you mentioned the initiatives. Finally, the Quadruple A studio from Microsoft finally came out and said what they're working on, which was Perfect Dark.
I'm looking forward to that. I forgot they showed that.
So yeah, Perfect Dark was finally announced from the initiative, which is pretty awesome. I was not a huge Perfect Dark fan. Back in the early 360 and the N64 days, but I definitely am really intrigued by this game. It looks, you know, looks a little bit more modern. It doesn't have that cartoony look that I felt like Perfect Dark had.
So the first Perfect Dark, and then it was remastered on 360. That game was awesome. Perfect mm-hmm. Dark Zero, mm-hmm. which was a 360 launch game, that was not awesome.
Yes,
it was okay, but it was not nearly as good as the original.
Yeah, that's why, like, the property itself isn't getting me excited. Like, until they show me some gameplay and, like, I see it. Like, mm-hmm. it could be awesome, but just hearing Perfect Dark, I'm like, okay.
Now, I will say, I was really disappointed that they did announce it at Perfect Dark, because I was really hoping the initiative was doing something on, like, a new IP, you know, something completely away from an existing property that Microsoft owns.
Or how about bring back a property everybody really fucking wants, like Crimson Skies?
Oh my goodness. But I think honestly the initiative might be too, I don't know, big name studio for them to do Crimson Skies. Like, it, I don't know, it doesn't, I love that game, I just don't think it will generate the buzz that a large studio that with the talent that they got going there, like a lot of Naughty Dog people, a lot of Sony Santa Monica, and some other big narrative-driven stories. So I'm excited to see what they do with this game. The grit that they kind of showed during this trailer is got my interest definitely piqued. Then the biggest news, though, for me was the final trailer at the end of the show, which was the reveal, cinematic reveal of the next Mass Effect game. And we'll definitely dive into some of those details a little bit later about why I think it's interesting that they announced the new Mass Effect game, but they kind of had this nice little teaser where they showed the whole universe kind of being in disarray after the end of Mass Effect 3, and then what everybody assumes to be Liara picking up a N7 badge off of a snowy planet, kind of alluding to the Shepard storyline. So I'm pretty excited for that, because I am a huge Mass Effect fan. I loved 1 through 3, and I actually really loved Andromeda, despite its flaws. So I look forward to seeing what they're going to do, because it looks like they're continuing the original trilogy. So I can't wait to see what happens there. You know, before we go too far into this episode, I do want to remind you guys that TAG is a wonderful community, and we like to keep the lights on. So in order to do that, we do need a small bit of revenue, and what you can do is use our affiliate links in amazon.com. if you need to do some last minute Christmas shopping and you don't mind giving a gift the day after Christmas, feel free to drop a link to any item from Amazon in our Discord server and use the affiliate link to give us a small kickback. Doesn't change your price, doesn't change anything other than just gives TAGs a few pennies to rub together as we keep the lights on.
And if you're looking for something really cool for somebody that likes retro gaming, Amazon is selling the Sega Genesis Mini for $49.99. That's $30 cheaper than it was originally released. Yeah, so
that's a very good price.
Yeah, there you go.
It's got 50 games. You're paying, or 50 or 100, so it's 50, right? You're paying $1 a game. And you get two controllers. Easily,
that extra $30 that you saved, you could buy those 6-button controllers. Or even
there you go.
Wireless controller. So, sorry, just to add one thing that was shown at the Game Awards was the Evil Dead, the game.
Oh, yeah.
Which sadly looks like it's competing against Back for Blood.
Yeah, but they actually have Bruce Campbell in this game, though.
Yeah, and it's made, we brought it up, it's made by the same devs, I think, as World War Z, which was pretty fun. Interesting. So, it looks pretty good. I forgot about that, too. But I'm a huge Evil Dead fan, so I'm in.
Yeah. So, do I want to be Bruce Campbell, or do I want to actually relive my Left 4 Dead glory?
There's no reason we can't do both, gentlemen.
Why not both?
That's good.
Good. Well,
before we jump too far, Finn, we kind of skipped something, and that is, I thought this was cool for people on the Sony side of the house. They released an update to the PlayStation 5 OS that and the PlayStation Store that it'll actually update the PlayStation 4 versions of games. So if you accidentally installed the PlayStation 4 version of Black Ops Cold War, and it's making your system crash, it'll let you know now, and you can install the right version, or vice versa, if you need to install an older version because of crashing with the newer version. So
that's pretty cool. I thought
that was pretty cool. They released an update yesterday. So,
all right, Warlock, tell us a little bit about what you've been playing lately.
Sure. So, I played a ton of Assassin's Creed Valhalla since getting it alongside my Series X, so really enjoyed my time with that. Probably, I think I put in like 80 hours or something into it. But I'm a sucker for anything that's Norse, Viking-themed, and I really liked the last few Assassin's Creed entries where they move more into like that open-world RPG and less like the, I don't know, stealth kind of games of the past. But the combat's fun, it's brutal, has some cool side stories in each kingdom as you try to make alliances all over England. It's pretty cool. The next one is probably going to get people to think I'm crazy because I'm playing another Ubisoft open world game. But I picked up Immortals Fenyx Rising over the past weekend, which I keep hearing great things about. It was on sale, so I figured, what the hell? It gets my award for the worst title for any game this year. Is if we're
didn't it have throwing a those out? Didn't it have a totally different Gods title? And they changed
Gods
it?
And Monsters, which I think is cool. Immortals Fenyx Rising, I don't think is cool. But anyway,
they ran into like was that copyright issues with Gods and Monsters?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was one of those things.
But it's cool. It's it's not as big as AC, it seems, and it's very much like Legends of Zelda Breath of the Wild, pretty much. So it's got vivid colors, it's cartoon graphics, lots of physics-based puzzles. It's just a lot of fun.
It looks cool. I'll probably wait till it's on a... You know, it's Ubisoft, so it'll eventually go on a super sale at some point.
True, true. And last but not least, winner of Fighting Game of the Year at the Game Awards. I've been playing a lot of Mortal Kombat 11.
Oh my God, so much
fun. The Tag Fight Club, yeah. Which I know we've got quite a few members here tonight. But
we've got most of the Tag Fight Club on the podcast tonight.
So I won't talk too long. You guys will talk about it. But it's an accessible game. It's great for newcomers and stuff. It looks great with the new Series X patches. If you like Mortal Kombat or fighting games in general, check it out.
So, hold on. Didn't you do the DLC for Gears 5?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I forgot I even played that.
It must have now been I really feel good like if he forgot. Spying,
right? No, actually, so it was really good. Like, it was, like, technically really impressive, and it looks amazing. And the set-piece fights, like, it has you in some locales that weren't really in Gears of War before. Like, a bulk of it takes place in, like, this rainforest jungle area. Then there's a really cool set-piece level that deals with a lot of lava and stuff like that, and it just looks fantastic on the Series X. But yeah, it was, it was Gears 5 campaign. Like, it didn't blow my mind, like, gameplay-wise. And you play the characters from the escape mode. So it's those, like, three new characters that, like, go into the hives and, like, blow them up from the inside kind of thing. So, but it's cool. Yeah. It's if you got Game Pass Ultimate, I would say check it out because it's free with that.
It's definitely on my list to play here soon. So, Sith, you've been, I don't know what the correct term, neck deep in some games.
Yeah. I just been nonstop playing, even though Cyberpunk.
Hold on, let me get my whiskey.
Yeah, that's a shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've actually, at least the experience on the Xbox Series X has actually been pretty good. There is a bit of small glitches here and here, but I haven't had anything that was game-breaking. A lot of it made me laugh. I guess it kind of takes you out of the immersion if you're super into that. But I've mostly been just doing the side quests, and some of the side quests, they did put a lot of detail into them. With Easter eggs regarding to other games or even other franchises. So I've been having a lot of fun. I have about 80 hours. I look forward to hopefully finishing it this weekend.
Awesome.
And then, of course, as I'm part of the Fight Club, been in playing Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate. Just recently got the Ultimate add-on, so I look forward to playing the add-on story, since the base storyline was actually really good, and a lot better than the Mortal Kombat movies if you had watched them in the past.
Oh, dude, come on.
Those are classics of cinema, how dare
They're classics. I love them.
Annihilation was like top tier, like,
oh, Francis I couldn't Ford even make Coppola. It through that one. Oh man, I could. The first one was cool, but man, that second one was bad.
And then, what was it? Got a brain fart. But yeah, the story in that's really good. Look forward to playing the expansion story. Have a lot of fun on it. Oh yeah, I was gonna add, since they had Mortal Kombat 10 on Game Pass, I went back to play that just to get more of the story. But my God, the work that they put on the graphics for 11 is just so impressive that it was just like going back to 10. I felt like I was going back to like a Xbox 360 game.
Boom! Yeah, that Series X update on MK11 is insane.
Yeah, I couldn't play it. It was so much. At least in the story, there was so much brown. It was like playing those 360 launch games.
Hmm.
And, that's about it I've been playing so far this week.
All right. As the third and final member of the Fight Club in this podcast this evening, Optimus, what have you been playing?
Well, MK, I got the MK11. Well, I've been playing MK11 because I got the base game on sale like 2 months ago when it first went on sale. It's on sale currently right now, guys, part of the Ultimate Holiday Sale. Also on sale is the MK11 Ultimate Edition and the MK11 Ultimate Upgrade. Actually, everything MK11 is on sale, so no matter what, you're going to get a deal. But I bought the 11 Ultimate Upgrade Pack so I could get all the cool characters. And yeah, it's a ton of fun. And we were playing last week, and I got to finally use Rambo, and he's like my favorite of the licensed characters. He's pretty awesome. I mean, they're all fun. Joker's fun to use too. Are You Dead joined us for a couple matches. That was fun.
So I've heard the Rambo is kind of weird because it's like young Rambo, but his voice is still like the old Stallone.
Yeah, it's pretty passable. They did a pretty good job. I mean, yeah, it's not super jarring. It would be more jarring maybe if it was like a direct digital scan from the movie or something. But no, it's pretty good. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. It's a lot of fun learning the new characters. And yeah, like, I don't know what kind of work these guys did, but the graphics engine is really nice on the Series X at 4K60 with all of the particle effects and everything going on. Super smooth. It's a lot of fun. Definitely the best looking and playing fighting game on the Series X, I would say. There's nothing that comes close in that department. Then I've been playing a ton of my digital crack, and that's Black Ops Cold War. If you are having any sort of crashing issues, it seems like turning off party chat overlay is the magic mystery fix. Because ever since I turned that off, thank you, Taylor Tuesday, for giving me that hot tip. No crashes. Not a single crash in a week now. It's fucking great. I'm so happy because now I can play it nonstop, which is probably not a good thing. and then I have been playing Get Your Glass Ready, Cyberpunk 2077. I've been playing it on performance mode because I can't take 30 frames anymore. I think I'm one of those people. We had a discussion on the Discord yesterday that's sensitive to frame rate. Like I can tell you within 5 frames of something most of the time. Like visually, I can just see it, feel it. And I tried to play Cyberpunk on 30 frames, and I was like, no, I can't do this. I was like, there's no way. 60 frames is better for me. It feels more natural, smoother. I'm enjoying the game. I've played through a little bit of the story, got through the title sequence, and I've been doing a lot of side missions. It's got a lot of bugs. It's got a lot of bugs, and it needs some patches, that's for sure. So I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit. Fenn, what have you been playing, sir?
As not an active member of the Tag Fight Club, so I've been toying around Destiny 2 still. I'm kind of fading on that game a little bit.
You hit the grind wall, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm at the soft cap. Yeah, so it's a little harder to level up. Plus, it's just, you know, I love playing with Ghost and Obi and them, but they usually have a full, you know, fire team by the time I get on, and I feel kind of bad trying to convince some of them to break off and help me with some nightfalls or, you know, whatever. So if you're interested in Destiny 2 and you need to work through the soft cap, please let me know. I'd love to play with you guys. Sith, are you interested in diving back into this?
Perhaps.
Ooh. Oh, every time Sith says perhaps, you have to take a shot too.
There we go. So yeah,
Destiny 2. That's the 2. Secret drinking game that most people don't know, but now they do.
I thought that was like you finish a drink is when Sith says perhaps.
Oh,
like,
is that how
it goes? It was a very diplomatic answer, I thought. Perhaps.
Well, he is Canadian after all, so there is that. I mean nothing ill will by that, by the way, Seth. Just throwing that out there. I've also been playing COD, and I can definitely tell you that turning on the Xbox side, at least, if you turn the party chat overlay off, it definitely improves
your chance. Oh, yeah, you tested it with this the other night.
Yes.
Fenn turns it on. What is it? 2 minutes in? Boop, crashed. Yep.
Not even through a full match, I locked up. But I will say the crashing has improved. You don't crash in like full shutdown on your Xbox. It's just to the dashboard, which is very nice. But there's that. And then also I've been playing the game that we will discuss even further in detail, which is Cyberpunk. And like Hop said, there's some definitely things to enjoy about the game, but there's some things that you can definitely see that make you go, So, I am enjoying it. I am not super far into it. I am not 80 hours Sith. So power to you, man. But I'm enjoying it. I'm having some fun, and it definitely has some very interesting side missions. That's for sure. So, you know, let's talk about the tag community a little bit, and let's chat about what goes on a weekly basis here. Thursday nights and Friday nights. Tell us what happened.
Thursday night is our game night, and mostly we're on the Xbox side of the house because that's where a lot of our tag membership is, but we've got more and more crossplay games coming to play. This Thursday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, Titanfall 2. That's a popular game with the tag folks. It's on EA Play. If you have Game Pass Ultimate right now, you have EA Play. It's also, I think, on sale for $5 pretty regularly, probably even right now. Great game. Campaign is totally worth the $5 alone, and the multiplayer is a ton of fun. New Year's Eve, December 31st, Halo 5. Taking Halo 5 out for another spin. That's been in the tag game night since its release in 2015. And January 7th, Burnout Paradise. I'm assuming this is the Xbox One version. There's also the 360 BC version.
I'm assuming whatever's on EA Play.
Yeah, I think it's the Xbox One. Like, I'm going to air quote remaster. It's kind of an upscale. Friday nights is Fight Club, and lately we've just all kind of fallen in love with Mortal Kombat 11. It's been a ton of fun, especially for those of us that got the new Series X. You know, having fun with the full hardware. It does have cross-gen play, but we have to go into public rooms to do the cross-gen play, which kind of sucks. Hopefully, Warlock even opened a ticket. And it sounds like we're kind of stuck with that for a while. I don't understand why they couldn't have made private lobbies with cross-gen play. I mean, Call of Duty has cross-gen and cross-platform play, and so does Fortnite. So don't know what the deal is with MK11, but at least it has some form of cross-gen play between Xbox One and Xbox Series consoles. What goes on with that paper stuff, Finn?
Yes, if you are a, you know, like to turn the paper and read words through ink off of a page or through an Audible that somebody else reads it to you, you can join our book club here at TAG. And we, as Dead Meat promised, he delivered. We now have a book selected for the month of December, which was selected by friend of the show, Anthem. A Conspiracy of Truths is the title of the book. You can find that in Amazon. Use our affiliate links if you can. And you can read about a wrongfully imprisoned storyteller spends stories from his jail cell that just might have the power to save him, and take down his jailers too. So if that sounds interesting to you, go ahead and join our book club and listen, read, however you like to partake in the written words, and go enjoy and have fun. So now it takes us to our deep dive. And our deep dive is one that we've kind of touched on over the last couple years in various ways, but we're actually going to go full on into this because this has been a pretty hot button issue with the release of Cyberpunk 2077, which came out on December 10th. And if you don't know, Warlock already talked about how a lot of people are requesting refunds, but Cyberpunk 2077 launched in pretty, you know, stellar reviews. And everybody seemed to be in love with this game if you were playing it on a PC. But for those of you that were playing on an Xbox Series X or PlayStation 5, you were enjoying it. You saw some kind of weird stuff happening, but it's working just fine. You don't have much to complain about. But if you were playing it on a base PlayStation 4 or a Xbox One original, or maybe even Xbox One S, you were seeing some really bad scenarios. Like, the game became unplayable. The graphics were not great. The frame rates were terrible. There was a lot of crashing, a lot more bugs. You know, just anything and everything that could go wrong was pretty much going wrong on the base consoles. So it led to a lot of people, you know, pitchfork and torches and ready to burn down a beloved studio in Poland and tear them a new one. But now refunds are coming out and, you know, people are somewhat getting happier. But this leads to the question, are we paying to become beta testers for these larger games, these new launch games, especially in this new generation of Xbox Series X versus Xbox One, PlayStation 5 versus PlayStation 4, even, I guess, PCs with the upper-end graphics cards and stuff. So are we paying to become beta testers? What do you say, Sithy?
For some games, yes. Because I think even EA, we've played Star Wars Battlefront 2. I feel like when that came out, we were a bit beta testing the game and also the microtransactions. So it was a double whammy on that one at least. Cyberpunk, it's playable. I guess they had the eye on high-end stuff and they didn't really check to see if it was playable on base systems, as you said, with the PlayStation 4, Xbox One S, where the game is like completely unplayable. They can't even do 30 frames. And it's just sad that we pay $70 and yet still have to work out the bugs for the developers.
I mean, let's face it, we're not working the bugs out. We may be identifying bugs that they already probably even know about, but yeah. I see your point, especially like Battlefront 2. We were definitely, I feel like, the guinea pigs for the whole microtransaction debacle that was the case back then. So, Warlock, I know that you have a manifesto ready to go.
yeah, kind of. I'll give you the abridged version. I think it's something not just me, but like everyone's been seeing it for years, especially, and you see this mostly in high-profile, extremely hyped games. And I think Cyberpunk is perhaps one of the like craziest hyped games, maybe ever. I don't know. They announced it nearly a decade ago, started development what, 5-6 years ago, and then just kept. I don't know. To me, it's like more and more AAA studios are. They want to sell us the idea of a game, not the game. So they give us E3 trailers that give us some glimpse of something that is going to be super far removed from the actual product we receive. Take a look at No Man's Sky. Take a look at Anthem. Those E3 announcement trailers look nothing like what people actually got to play. Other stuff, you know, you get the... You feel more like a beta tester with like bugs and things. Like you guys were talking about Black Ops Cold War and like the crashing and things like that. It's almost like that game released in the real release date was like the season one, like December stuff, where like they ironed out all the bugs over the first month and it was like, yeah. Oops, sorry. sorry if you bought it on release day kind of thing. But Cyberpunk, to me, like is in the decision to not allow reviewers to see the game on console before release is what I think puts it above the rest of it, right? Because
I feel like
it had to be a calculated move.
They knew about a lot of that. They just didn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Either that or the financiers of the game said, you guys probably shouldn't show this or don't say anything.
And I think a big part of it gets to... you know, that article I mentioned or whatever, like, Cyberpunk has sold 13 million in a week. What motivation does anyone really have to release a game when, if your hype and marketing is right, you're making what you need on week one? And then you just kind of ask everyone, hey, stay loyal. We'll fix this, we promise. What do we do?
One small thing that's kind of interesting, because they had an investors meeting for Project CD Red.
Mm-hmm.
And even one of the investors had asked, is this game playable before it was released? Is it in a playable state? So, that's quite interesting that even an investor was interested that the game would be in the
right. Well, because if it's not, I was talking about, this might have been on like a game chat during the week when Fenn and I were playing, but back in the old days when games were on cartridges, you couldn't get away with this shit, man. No. The game had to be done. Now, I understand that games are way more complicated. There's way more work. There's a lot more shit to do. We got network code. We're supporting like 15 resolutions. We're supporting 2 or 3 generations of hardware. I get all that. But back in the day, your game had to be done, like worked. And it had to work and work because it had to get burned on an EPROM and go into a plastic cartridge and go into a case and go to a store and go to a shelf. So that when little Johnny got it for Christmas, the game worked. And nowadays, it's almost more commonplace that when you buy a game, it might work okay, but there's always a day one patch and another patch a couple month or two later because they found something else. Or the player base, like, I kind of brought this whole thing up to Finn. I feel like we are buying games. And if you're an early adopter of a game like Cyberpunk, or if you buy Call of Duty in the first on release day, you are paying to be a beta tester, because within months, like with the big RPGs like Witcher 3, Skyrim, Fallout, if you wait for the Game of the Year edition, which they usually comes out a year or so mm-hmm. later, you get all the DLC, you get all the bug fixes, you even get a couple bonuses, and they charge you the same price that they charged the suckers that bought the year before.
Yep.
So I'm almost at the point with a lot of those games, I can wait. Now, I am very fortunate. I have a really good friend that game shares. He bought Cyberpunk on launch day. I wasn't going to buy it on launch day. Not because I didn't want to play it, but because I knew it would be patched later. And honestly, I'm playing so much Black Ops that I'm not playing a lot of Cyberpunk. I cut Treyarch a little bit of slack with Black Ops because they had to come in and finish a game in less than a year that was started by another studio. They normally get 2 to 3 years to build their games, so this one was kind of a big mess that I would probably put more of the blame. The bugs with Black Ops, I would put more of the blame on Activision for forcing, contractually obliging these studios to finish that game. So
I will say we are in a different world right now
Ready? You have to take another shot because we're going to bring up the pandemic, right? That's what you're getting.
No. I was going to say we are in a completely different world because we are in a new generation cycle of consoles. We have the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series consoles released back in November, and there's this really blurry line on what is last gen, what is current gen, what is next gen, you know, going on right now, because especially on the Xbox side, we have so many people playing on Xbox One, Xbox One S, Xbox, you know, One X, you know, the Scorpio edition, and then now on the series consoles of Series S or Series X, and then you even have people on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4 still playing. And you know, the need to jump to the next generation has not been as necessary as it has been in the past. So Cyberpunk had to release on, I think somebody said, what, 9 different consoles technically?
Got PC, which is probably a big headache with different configurations of hardware.
So, like, I mean, we're in this crazy world, and same thing with Call of Duty. It had to do the release on all those different things. And yes, I think that there is something to be said that maybe we can cut some slack a little bit, but at the same time, you know, we can be frustrated, but also know that we continue to feed this cycle of, I want this game right now, and I have that FOMO. I don't want to miss out on what mm-hmm. is going to be the next biggest thing, or I don't want it spoiled for me or ruined for me. So I have to be there day one. And so, yeah, we're going to be beta testers. We're going to be testing out all these things. And, you know, maybe beta testing is the wrong term. Maybe early adopters, you know, like Microsoft has the preview program, but granted, those people get a discount on their game, on the game, if they buy in the preview program.
Steam also has a similar program.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's wild. I mean, and Warlock, you hit the nail on the head. This is not a new phenomenon. This has been going on for a long time. No Man's Sky. Cyberpunk is obviously the biggest, most hyped game that's probably been around to have this.
Yeah, they had 8 million pre-orders.
Yeah.
8 million.
What's wild, too, I'm glad you guys brought up, like, cutting the developers slack, right? Because I get that, and I agree with it, and I think there's...
I'm cutting Treyarch slack, only because I have a connection there. I know somebody that works there. I know what those guys have gone through, like, even on a normal 2 to 3 year crunch, but for what they pulled off in a year is fucking miracle.
I was about to agree with you. But what I think, that's what I think is what I find odd about some of this, because who's under attack for Black Ops being in bad shape? Treyarch is.
Yeah.
I guarantee all those guys, no one at Treyarch wanted to release the game that way. Everyone at Activision was like, well, we need it in this quarter, so it's going out the door.
Right, right.
So, just like, I'm sure everyone working on Cyberpunk, no one was like, boy, am I excited it doesn't work on old consoles. It's very much like an executive level, like, this is coming out because we probably have the data to suggest we're going to make the money regardless.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's totally... I firmly agree with you. I think that the suits at the top are like, all right, we're at a point. We're shipping it. Let's go. Like, we'll spin this. We'll survive the backlash that's coming. Granted, I don't think Cyberpunk or CD Projekt Red executives saw the backlash that was coming with this. I mean, it came in full force. And I think a lot of it is echo chamber. I think a lot of it became very much...
Well, I was going to say, one problem mentality. Is a lot of these games, the budgets are huge.
Mm-hmm.
The deadlines, I think sometimes they're unrealistic that they set.
Or unmoving, it seems like. Like, you know, we have to get out this fiscal quarter, otherwise, you know, EA is going to completely fall apart.
I know they pushed this one and pushed this one. I think they really felt like, because the entire capitalist world revolves around fourth quarter sales for the holidays, right? And I'm sure that's the reason this game got, because it got delayed. And this game was supposed to come out, what, a year or more ago?
It was supposed to come out in May.
Right. Well, but before that, it was last fall. So, you know, they push it back, and this is kind of the wall. They're like, it has to release by this day, or we're not going to make the financial quarter. And
see, I think that's dumb.
Well, do you also think that the release of the new consoles also pushed these studios to get these games out in time as well?
Well, it's the same quarter. That's the same reason why the new consoles came out at this time. So really, boom,
and
hit that
quarter.
And
here's the thing. If we did not have a new console, this game would not have launched.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it that way. If the Series X and the PlayStation 5...
With 8 million pre-orders, I bet you it still would have come out.
If we were not seeing the new generation that we're playing on right now, Hop, you really think that they would have launched this game in the state that it's in?
Well, it might, but their optimization might have been different.
I mean, they might have, because it's... I just want to keep bringing back the detail that they didn't allow reviewers to see it.
Yeah.
Means we don't care it's getting released. So wouldn't it be wild if, Series X, PS5 don't exist, they release on PC, it looks phenomenal.
But I mean,
and we'll just wait till later for the console fallout.
But the three of us that are playing it right now, if we got it on the Series, if we were playing on our 1X or 1S, and we were having the shitty issues that we're having, and they're doing the refund policy that's going on right now, would you be taking advantage of it?
Yeah. I would.
I would.
So, if that was my only way to experience the game, I 100% would, because I know in a year from now they're going to release Cyberpunk 2077, like, Game of the Year edition, or if they're smart, they'll maim themselves and call it like Cyberpunk the Patched Edition or some shit, and and let some humor back into it.
So now, do you think they'll come up with any paid DLC, or they'll put out free DLC to?
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be paid. They might give us some free stuff to try and.
We saw the Series X and PlayStation 5 enhanced versions coming. We still have the multiplayer that's supposedly being worked on. I mean, I will go back to say, here's the difference, though, with Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk clearly made its money because they're going to support the hell out of this game. And CD Projekt Red honestly can't probably afford to abandon it like other developers and publishers have abandoned properties in the past.
Mass Effect?
Yes, Mass Effect Andromeda. I loved Mass Effect Andromeda. I thought it was a pretty fantastic game. It had its issues, yes. But I enjoyed the hell out of that game. But they abandoned it so quickly. EA was like, nope, don't put any more money into it. And they stopped updating that game within 3 months.
EA is super quick to dump games, yes, too. Like, they'll like, what's that game that fell apart? The Iron Man flying suit.
Anthem? Another
Bioware game. Anthem, yeah. I mean, they're supposed to do a complete revamp of it, but...
Where they had taken off people that were working on that Mass Effect to work on that game.
Yeah. Well, and supposedly that next version is supposed to come out sometime, but we'll see whether that happens or not. But here's the thing. You know, Mass Effect is a beloved franchise, and they abandoned that, where Cyberpunk's not going to get that treatment. That game, if we think about it, The Witcher 3 came out in bad shape when it launched, and it ended up being Game of the Year for many, many publications. And so I think Cyberpunk, since it came out so late, it won't be considered game in the any Game of the Years for this year. But come next year, a lot of people are going to be talking about Cyberpunk in a very positive way beyond the initial launch of this game, because it's going to turn around.
I mean, the concept itself is amazing, and I think their idea is amazing. I just think that their scope of reach, the amount of time they had, the worldwide pandemic putting a big crunch on like developers being able to really communicate well with each other, having to support multiple console generations plus PC specs, it was a lot to deal with. I think that
because they even had gone out and said, CD Projekt Red at least, where they said, we're not doing crunch our employees.
And then they crunch.
They take our time. And then after, it's like, okay, sorry, we have to crunch. Like, yeah. They went out and apologized about it, but still. You know, they had to break their own promises.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think that is going to be an unavoidable thing until, you know, game makers can find a way to stand up for themselves, which is a very unfortunate thing. I mean, yes, Hop, you hit the nail on the head. You know, 20, 30 years ago, when games were printed into a cartridge and or CD, and there was no online update to come day one or, you know, down the road. Heck, even on the 360 era games back early on, when, you know, they had to come out near perfect because those updates cost them a ton of money to send out.
Yeah, that's right. And they weren't very big back then.
So, you know, but again, like
the cost of game development has risen like astronomically. Like, it's insane to see what the cost is for development. The gaming industry is making more money than Hollywood, so I mean, it's definitely probably the biggest entertainment growth field out there.
Especially right now. And
right.
You know, but here's the thing. I agree. I think it sucks. I think the only solution, Warlock, that I can come up with is people stop pre-ordering games. I mean, stop jumping on that hype train and worried you're going to miss out on something, because that's the only way we're going to start really saying to developers, it's okay to take your time. And I think Halo has been kind of a proof of concept in a way.
I'm just really glad that they had the courage to release what they had. I think they kind of knew, let's show this, but we're not totally sure this is where we want to go with this thing. And I think once they got the public reaction, they're like, okay, that's definitely kind of how we felt. Let's roll it back and put it back in the kitchen. Retool this bitch.
That's why I would at least prefer, I guess, if AAA studios started to do what you have indies doing, which is, we need some money now, so we're going to say this is early access. It's going to be filled with bugs. It's going to crash. Here's an honest assessment of what you're actually buying, and it'll get better. Instead of, this is going to be the best game you've ever seen. And then it's this huge mess. And
we'll fix it.
Well, yeah.
The other problem is gamers, a lot of them. Because I think even when the last Pokemon game came out, Short Sword and Shield, people saw how the game looked. They weren't happy about the whole Pokédex thing, and they said they were in protest and, you know, not buy the game by protesting, right? But yet, it turned out to be like one of the best Switch selling games ever. Currently, you know, even though they had said, people had went out and said, I'm not doing pre-order, I'm not doing buy the game.
Hey, people. FOMO is a powerful drug.
I know, but I'm just saying, people, they still didn't buy it. Sadly, I don't see that thing be fixed, or people are not doing pre-order.
I mean, how many people, like, I know, like, 3 or 4 people easily, where they're like, I'll never do that, I'll never buy that game again, or I'll never buy this X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 blah. And then guess what? They're the very first person in line getting whatever they said they weren't going to buy again because the hype got to them and they were like, I can't miss it because if on the off chance it's good or it's not as bad as the last one or whatever it is, their excuse. You know, humans, we will deceive ourselves to do whatever it is that we don't want to miss out on. So, I mean, it's just, it really sucks. And I think really what needs to happen is, as a collective, we need to say to these developers and publishers, like, look, we're tired of buying your shit half-baked. Figure a way out to get it to, you know, 80-90% baked so we can really enjoy these games. You know, it's okay to delay. It's okay to say, you know, it's not ready yet. I know it's going to cost you a shit ton more money to get it right and take the time you need to take to get it right, but hell, get it right so that way when it comes out, then everybody's talking about how amazing it is and all the people who were hesitant will definitely jump on board at that point. So I don't know, we are paying to become beta testers now, and the Q&A department of video game companies is probably getting smaller and smaller because we're becoming the Q&A. Warlock, thank you so much for bringing this this topic to us. Please let us know where we can read your manifesto at. And
well, I'm working on a couple publishing deals at the moment, so more news on that to come. But yeah, find me on the Tag Discord at Warlock. Shoot me a message if you want to talk more about this. So.
Awesome. Sith, where can people find you, sir?
They can find me on the Tag Discord as Sith Warrior, or on Xbox Live as C1 Sithy. Right now, I guess I'll be hanging out in the Cyberpunk channel that we got, and usually the Xbox channel. I'm usually open to talk about anything and talk about our experiences on Cyberpunk.
Mm. Perhaps. All right, Optimus.
Oh, I love it. You can find me at the adultgamer.com Discord under Optimus. That's from there you can get my Xbox Live gamer tag. If you like to play Black Ops Cold War, no matter what system, hit me up on the Discord. I'll send you my Activision ID because I can't remember what all that crap is off the top of my head. Also, I need people to play Borderlands with. Anybody that wants to do the new Guardian takedown that I still haven't completed, somebody wants to hit me up, let's do it. Anyway, what about you, Mr. Fenn?
I am Fenrir765. You can find me on Xbox and the Adult Gamer Discord. I will tell you right now, I am really jonesing out to a theory I have for The Mandalorian and The Rise of Skywalker. So if you want to chat with me about that, please let me know.
Ooh, I do.
Because I think everybody's wrong on something huge. So anyways, come find me there and let's chat and play some games and have some fun together, because, you know, that's what we like to do. It's just enjoy life and be kind and take care of each other. So have a good one. Have a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all the things that it is. And we will catch you in 2021 with our Game of the Year, Game of 2020 episode. So
I can't wait for that episode.
See ya.